The name of this school came from a corpus of Indian Mahayana sutras known as the Avatamsaka or the Flower Garland Sutras. So it too was based on Indian texts, but not on the Lotus Sutra, now on another body of Indian sutras. These sutras conveyed a very positive image of emptiness as the mutual interpenetration of all phenomena. So like Jie's teaching about emptiness, the teaching of the Kuayin had to do with the interpenetration and the positive merging of reality in conventional experience. The doctrine of this school is sometimes called, at least by graduate students in Buddhism, sometimes called the Three Musketeers philosophy, because it pictures the cosmos as all in one and one in all. I don't know how many people even remember that old phrase about the Three Musketeers, but it kind of resonates from my childhood. The old Indian example of this doctrine is the image of Indra's net, which is a network of jewels in which each jewel reflects the light from every other jewel in the net. So if you want to perceive all of reality, all you've got to do is perceive just one single instant in the flow of existence, and reflected in that will be all of reality. It's a very powerful image, again, of the interpenetration of all of reality. It has strong philosophical significance, strong meditative significance, and also strong aesthetic significance in the literature. Another school that I suspect would be more familiar to many of you is a school known as the Chan, or meditation school, a school that gave a very distinctive Chinese interpretation to the practice of meditation. Now, the Chan school is the school that eventually became Zen in Japan. Zen is, of course, a very familiar phenomenon to many of us today in America. It permeates American culture in all sorts of ways. You know about the Zen of flower arranging. You probably also know about the Zen of tennis and the Zen of the stock market. All of this comes, in one way or another, out of the Chan tradition in China. Now, it's sometimes said that the word Zen is a Japanese mispronunciation of a Chinese mispronunciation of a Sanskrit word that means something like meditation. And that's sort of true. Chan comes from a Pali word, jhana, that's related to the Sanskrit word dhyana, that we have encountered. I'm not sure you would remember this, but we encountered it in the name of the meditation Buddhas in the lecture on Tantric Buddhism. A meditation Buddha was a dhyani Buddha, a meditation Buddha. So Chan has to do with dhyana, with meditation, and it is the great meditation school of China. It's traced in China to the career of a legendary Indian saint whose name is Bodhidharma, who flourished, we think, between 460 and 534. So his life came a little bit before the Tang dynasty. He is represented a lot in Buddhist art, and I've brought with me here to show you a very typical image of Bodhidharma in the Japanese tradition. You can see he's got a little bit of a scowl on his face. He always, in one way or another, looks like kind of a hairy guy, because the Chinese think that Westerners from India and also other places in the West have a little bit more hair on their body than the Chinese themselves. Picture would be entirely attractive. So he's got a scowl on his face. He's got a funny look in his eye, and he has about 2 days' growth of beard on his chin. And he also, maybe a little bit more remarkably, has no arms and no feet. That's a bit more significant. The story of Bodhidharma is that he sat down in meditation facing a wall for 10 years until his arms and his legs fell off. And that's why he's depicted in Japanese and Chinese art as this person so stably located on the ground, almost like an old Joe Palooka figure who can be knocked down but will always stand himself up. This is Bodhidharma, the founder of the Chan tradition in China.